Well, may the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There is a lot of great music that is built around a question. Where have all the flowers gone? Pete Seeger. I want to know, have you ever seen the rain? CCR. Where are you tonight? Why did you leave me here all alone? Where's that from? Hee-haw. All right. How many roads must a man walk down before they call him a man? Bob Dylan. Yep. Where do we go now? Guns N' Roses. Why do fools fall in love? Frankie Lyman. All right, you got it. So many great songs, great questions. Now, there are certainly times in life where it's more about an exclamation point. God is love, exclamation point. This dinner is fantastic. Thanks for making it, exclamation point. Ohio State will beat Michigan once again this season, exclamation point. Even visually, exclamation points let you know there's not going to be a lot of discussion about this topic, right? They are straight as they can be, no wiggle room, line down, dot, done. Question mark. Oh, that's a little different, right? Just consider its shape. If you start up here somewhere, you can almost start to see it twirling around, looking by. It wants to see. It wants to take a look in all directions. And then sort of like a satellite, shoo, it takes off west. What's going on out west? Let's take a look up here. And then after a while, hey, we're going to head up north. What's going on? What can I learn up north? And then after a while, it gets restless and it's looking east. And then it looks like it's going to head for home, sort of closer to where it started. And then, whoop, left turn out of nowhere. It's going south. Beth Moore has pointed out the geography of a question mark. It's a little about adventuring and exploring and investigating. Do you know some theologians have lovingly referred to the Bible as a book of questions? And I certainly agree. Questions that we as humans get to ask, questions posed by our Heavenly Father or Jesus that have meant so much. For instance, am I my brother's keeper? Genesis 4. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Job 38. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah 6. Who do you say that I am? Mark 8. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Mark 8. Who is my neighbor? Why do you look for the living among the dead? If God is for us, who can be against us? How much more will the Father care for you? Some scholars estimate that 3,300 questions hold our scriptures together. Today, I'd like to pose only two to you. Both are from God, both from the very first story in Genesis, well, chapter 3. The first question, where are you? Where is my wife, Luann? Well, on Wednesday nights, she is with some other COS disciples as they explore a Bible study called The Quest. And at the first session, she came home sort of fired up about the questions they were asking together. And therefore, I sort of got fired up about these questions. The Quest, written by Beth Moore, she's not Lutheran, but in watching her DVD, sounds like she is becoming one. Luann, Linda, and Beth point out to me, and therefore I'd like to point out to you, a key life question for all of us is from the garden. Where are you? We ask that question a lot of times. It's about, well, where the car keys go, where the remote go, where did I put my phone? So often we ask it about our kids. Where are they? In more ways than one. Some of us admit, hey, we've got an app. We've had an app at times to actually know where the kids might be in the community. It's harder to figure out where they are with values and decisions in life sometimes. I remember in 1986, it was the summer after my freshman year in college, and had the good fortune of studying abroad. Most of the time we were in Geneva, Switzerland. And then with World Council of Churches, Lutheran World Federation, UN, really cool. Then we had 2 weeks where we could just take that EuroRail pass and just travel to any country we want. And man, we did. I mean, Germany and Italy and the Netherlands and France. And I reflect on that and thinking, holy cow, for 2 weeks, my mom and dad did not know in what country their son was. That's just the way it was. Where are you? It is the garden. And God doesn't know where Adam and Eve are. And so he comes looking. The serpent has been whispering words to them, pulling them away from their relationship with God. And after they fall into temptation, they disobey God, they eat the fruit, they run, they hide. The Lord goes after them. Now, by the way, when you are maybe out in the world, you have a little interesting conversation with another Christian who wants to know, when did you find God? Have you found God? And just sort of point out, you know, the very first story, it's about God searching for Adam and Eve, not the other way around. And in the New Testament, it's about Jesus leaving heaven and coming and searching for each one of us, not the other way around. Faith is much more about grace, and whether it's infant baptism, it's about God coming and asking and telling us, I love you. Where are you today? And less about us finding God. As you can tell, this question has less to do with GPS. It's more to do with the state of our hearts. It's a question I'm sure the Lord asks a lot of American Christians as church attendance becomes less and less frequent. No, being in relationship with God is not all about worship, but it certainly is a key part of God's design for our health, right? God, Scripture calls us the body of Christ, not a series, a collection of independent contractors. So thanks to all of you for being here today. And your being part of what the council heard from our ushers is that our worship attendance is up about 10% so far this year. Maybe it doesn't feel like it today with 50 of our friends out camping, but we're saying it is important for us to let God know, where are we, God? We want to be with you. And we're trusting that you're going to make good things happen. We're going to trust that when we come together on Sunday morning or in our devotional time, that you will bless us. And we can feel good being close to you, Lord. Every day, God asks, where are we? I love the old story. Maybe you've heard it. Of the elderly couple, they're coming home from dinner, and they stop at a red light, and in front of them, there's a pickup truck, and they can see through the back window, there's the guy in the driver's seat, and snuggled real close to him is his wife or a date, and the woman coming home from dinner, she pokes her husband, said, oh, honey, you remember when we used to sit that close? And the husband responds, listen to this. Darling, I haven't moved one inch. God has never moved one inch from you. God is always there for you, loving you, and ask you every day, where are you? Second huge faith question emerges from this Genesis story. When God finds Adam and Eve, they're scrambling. Adam is blaming Eve, throws her under the bus big time, shares that he's scared, says he's embarrassed because he realizes he's naked. And then God asks the question that rings still today. Who told you that? So much of our joy in life is robbed because we listen to serpents. Serpents like the one in the garden. You're not happy enough. There's a lot of better things you can do on a Sunday morning. Serpents in nonstop advertising who whisper, you're not thin enough, young enough, rich enough. Doubt and dissatisfaction creep in. And in those moments, we need God's question, who told you that? If the Lord who created you and designed you is whispering to you through one of these songs or personal devotional time, you better listen up. If Jesus, who died and purchased you and owns you in a sense, tells you something, okay. If the Holy Spirit, who empowers you with gifts for a meaningful life, tells you something, you better wrestle with that. But if anybody else tells you, you can't. You're not worth it. You don't really measure up. Don't listen to those whispers from the serpents of all shapes and sizes. What do you make of our gospel today? Question mark. Jesus is preaching, teaching, and he sort of gets in a rhythm, sort of gets in a cadence, and it goes like this. You have heard it said, X. But I tell you today why. What is amazing is Jesus hasn't just picked up the morning paper and commenting on that. What is he commenting on? Scripture. It is what we call the Old Testament for him. It is Scripture. And you see, the problem is hundreds of years have gone by. He calls it, in ancient times, you have heard this. He says, I get it. I acknowledge it. But there's a problem. It is being taught to you. You are appropriating it in ways that diminish you. And the life, the way the Father and I have designed it for God's people. So, you have heard it said. I get it. You've heard it said this. But I say to you this. You have heard. You can find it in Scripture. An eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, if you're going to be my followers, I want you to listen to me that you are to forgive your enemies. That's why as Lutherans, we believe, as Martin Luther helpfully pointed out, whenever we come to Scripture, we sort of want to first put on a lens called Jesus Christ. Whatever the situation is, how do we see it through Jesus? Because we know the world will gladly pick a verse here, a verse there, and try to come up with an argument that is diminishing from God's plan. But Jesus says, through grace, I have got a way of seeing things. And that is why we are betting the farm on, at least I am, not what the serpent says, not what the world says, but what Jesus says about me and you as we make important life decisions. So often we are shackled. We are encumbered by hurtful comments in our lives. We allow them to have power over us, to define us. Max Lucado, some of you have been blessed to read this great theologian's devotionals, and he talks about a time where two burglars got into a department store, and some of you youngins don't get, you know, with Amazon Prime, you can just order everything from your house. But I remember one of my jobs working for Rite Aid is I had the price sticker machine, and I went around, and there were stickers, and so it was pretty easy to pull out the price tag of one item, and you put it on another, and put an expensive price tag, just a sticker, take it off, put it on another. That's what those burglars did. $5 tags were placed on expensive earrings. The latest technological gadgets were put on the clearance rack. And sometimes that happens to us. Life tries to put a cheap price tag on us. Someone whispers, "You're not really worth that much," and posts something like that on Facebook. "Really? Who told you that?" God asks. "I created you myself in your mother's womb. You are a masterpiece." Some serpent whispers, "You really don't make that much of a difference." "Who told you that?" God asks. "I declare that you are salt. You can season a whole recipe. You're light. You clarify a whole room." You have sinned once too many times. And this really crosses the line, some theology states. "Really? Who told you that?" Jesus says we're to forgive 7 times 70. God will love you a little more if you just get with the program and follow the rules. "Really? Who told you that?" Jesus says the number one command is not rule following, but loving. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to close with a reminder from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Many of you have heard about this Lutheran pastor in Germany who felt, as a matter of faith, he needed to break the laws and be a part of the resistance movement against Adolf Hitler. And he was imprisoned by the Nazis for his crimes. And toward the end of his life, as his hanging was imminent, he wrote a very honest poem in which he wrestled with his identity. Here is the last portion. "Who really am I? ? They mock me. All these questions, these lonely questions of mine. Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine." ! You are too. In the name of the one who has told you, you're salt, you're light, you're redeemed, you are treasured, you are purpose-packed, you are part of God's family and Christ's body, and so much more. Jesus, Lord of all ! and ! In his name, amen.